Accession number 19638, Reel 7.
Mr. Charles Jordan, Reel 7.
My natural self. And by this time we'd all dressed in American uniforms and feeling a lot happier and a lot better fed. So number 30 of us, I believe the number was, volunteered to stay behind and to help the Americans. We went out and we took over the new Osaka Hotel, which is one of the few European hotels standing in Osaka at the time. We confiscated vehicles and had everything in readiness for the Americans to arrive. The Americans contacted us again and said they were arriving by train from Moji into Osaka on a certain date and time. And on that time and date, we went to the station to greet them, and we were all dressed in American uniforms. And it's quite a memorable occasion, really, because the train pulled in, the doors of the carriages opened, and American servicemen jumped out of the train with automatic weapons. And the first people they saw was somebody in American uniform leaning on the barrels at the entrance. I can always remember their first words when they arrived at the station exit. And we spoke to them. They said, "God damn limes." And a great tradition, we escorted him to the hotel, and from then onwards, in every way, we helped him with the repatriation of other camps. That lasted for approximately 4 to 5 weeks. So most of my companions in the camp itself, by the time I started home, were already well on the way home. So I lost contact with quite a few individuals that I probably would still be in contact with.
You mentioned that your diet improved. What was the American food like?
The American food parcels contained, I think I can practically itemize the items. You had a tin of Spam, which I suppose you can say the equivalent of our corned beef. A small tin of coffee. A packet of tea. Butter. Tin butter. Tin beans. Tin fish. Biscuits, hardtack biscuits, two packets of either Lucky Strike or Chesterfield cigarettes, a cigar, and tin ham, a small tin of ham. And that was it. Oh, and of course, I think they called it cling milk, which is powdered milk.
Any chocolate?
Oh, they had American chocolate, which is not the same as ours. They call it chocolate, but it looks like a cream candy. They call it milk chocolate. Hasn't got the taste of British chocolate at all. Oh, that was one of the items. Oh, and chewing gum. Always in American parcels you'll find a packet of Wrigley's chewing gum. And I think that was what each parcel contained. And they dropped enough to supply a camp of 400 men, well, over a 12-month. That is the way the Americans work. They flood you with goodies. And, of course, half of that was used afterwards. So we, because our camp was going to be evacuated anyhow, we used those rations to feed their repatriation company in the hotel.
Did you get to know any of them personally?
The individual person that I remember most, and he was only a visitor, and I know this because he asked me specifically to serve him. He didn't want to be served by any Japanese. I was in charge of the hotel. That was my job in the repatriation. And it was Admiral Byrd, the explorer, American explorer. And he visited the repatriation center and stayed in the hotel for 4 or 5 days. And he is one of the few Americans that's not keen on coffee. And his greeting to me was, "I want an English cup of tea, made as you do at home. And I want you to do it," because I had Japanese staff under me then. And I served it to him in his room. And he was a really wonderful man. But that was his way. I can't recall, although I have photos of the group of us with the Americans at the hotel, on the hotel steps, a group photograph. I couldn't pinpoint any names, particular names. They sort of people that passed in the night sort of business, they were always busy, either out or they were doing the clerical work. And I was otherwise engaged in sort of running the hotel. The only reason I was put in charge of the hotel was because in my youth I was working in hotels.
So how long did you serve?
My whole service. When I joined up, I joined with 6 years with the colours and 6 years with the reserve. When I come back, I had about 15 months of my reserve to do before I was finished with the army completely.
You received the Burma Star Medal, didn't you?
Yes. When we were... When we returned to England, we were given all the papers, and I noticed I was allocated the normal British wartime medals, 1939-1945, general service medals as well. But although I wasn't actually fighting in Burma, I don't know why, but I was awarded the Burma Star. Well, really, I should have been awarded the Pacific Star. Apparently, the Navy were all awarded the Pacific Star, and the Army were all classed as being Burma Star veterans, and that is the reason why I'm in the Burma Star organization now, actually.
Are there any other men in the Burma Star group that you belong to from your theatre of war?
No. Actually, in the Guildford branch now, there are only two ex-prisoners of war, Mr. Bill Bailey and myself. But Mr. Bailey was actually on the Burma Railway as a prisoner of war. And obviously he's enlightened to me on what has occurred there and how bad it was. So that is really the only link we have.
So do you know of any other survivors of the Lisbon Maru?
I met one recently at reunion of Lisbon Maru survivors. That's the vessel I was on, which was at Weston-super-Mare about 6 weeks ago. And the man and his wife that came to the table we were on in the camp, he was one of the ex-members of the Hong Kong garrison, and he was put on the vessel, but subsequently was winched off because he was a... carrier of some complaint. I can't remember the actual complaint it was. He was winched off by crane because the Japs didn't want him passing on this illness to the rest of the prisoners on board. But subsequently he was taken to Japan, and I found out afterwards that he actually lived in the area that I lived in England before I joined the army. In the conversation with the wives talking about when they got married, he got married on exactly the same day as we did. And everything seemed to link up, you know. And that of all the 400 people in that repatriation camp at Weston-super-Mare, reunion camp, we were on a table, and the two people that were allocated with us had to be that couple. And that was the only actual survivor I met in that camp. So we're now quite friends, good friends. I've tried to contact other members, but after several years of going to the London reunion at Albert Hall, I've only actually spoken to two men that were actually on the vessel with me. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to keep in contact with that person. He was in very bad state of health at the time I saw him, and that's the only two that I've ever been able to contact. And none of them were in my regiment, so I wouldn't know their names from the old days at all.
Were you aware of feeling any elation once you were aware that the war was over with Japan?
When we realised that the war was over, obviously we were all very, very grateful, very, very pleased. But there was no celebrations. We were in the fit state to celebrate, actually, at the time. But I don't think anybody really showed any feelings about, isn't it good, or we're free, wouldn't it be wonderful to get home? There was no sort of show of feeling amongst us. I think we were past feeling by that time, you know.
What age were you at the end of it?
I joined up in 1936. So it was around about, I was 18, about 29 when I came out of the service. Just under 11 years, actually, before I actually resume civilian life, as you might call it.
Did you ever feel that you'd lost your youth?
Not really, no. Of course, I'm talking about the days when you left school at 14 and had to go out to work. I became a little bit of a loner there because of my size and lack of employment near my home for anybody my size. I had to work in London as a page boy in a hotel. And subsequently, I didn't have any home life or a great deal of companionship with people of my own age until I joined the army. And I enjoyed army life in peacetime, anyhow. So really, I didn't notice any loss of youthful activities or friendships.
Would you like to describe how you left Osaka and came home?
After helping the Americans with their repatriation of the other camps, incidentally, I have a letter of thanks from the general commanding the American forces. And they threw us a party before, a couple of days before we were due to start home. We were put on a train from Nagasaki and taken to Moji. At Moji, we went to the American air base there, or American airfield, and put on board a Dakota plane, and we were flown from there to Okinawa. At Okinawa, we spent 2 weeks, 3 weeks recuperation and being issued with goodies by the Americans every day. We were subsequently flown from there to Pearl Harbor, the Philippines, on American light bombers, sat on a plank over the bomb bay. When we got to Pearl Harbor, we had another 3 weeks under canvas there, same thing, being sort of fed and looked after. At the end of that 3 weeks, the HMS Glorious aircraft carrier, fleet aircraft carrier, arrived in port for the purpose of taking us on the next stage of our journey. That HMS Glorious then sailed for Canada to British Columbia, where we were landed and quartered for another 3 weeks in Victoria. After 3 weeks of being fed up and fated a little, we travelled across Canada by train, right through the Rocky Mountains. Eventually arriving in New York, where we boarded the Queen Mary, and on the Queen Mary we were brought back to Southampton, and we then severed our connection with the British Army for good, as far as I was concerned. Well, I thought so anyhow. Until a reunion with my family, and subsequently get married to my ex-pen friend, who is now my wife. Starting work in the Admiralty as a supervisor of the telephone exchange, I suddenly found that I was not completely severed from the army. I was got a letter from the War Office with a warrant to take me to Wales for retraining on the ACAC gun with the Territorial Army. And this was 3 months before my final date of army life, which I thought was, quite honestly, rather stupid.